How many websites do you use to get your daily dose of wrestling news and views? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net. Franklin Daniel and his staff bring you the most comprehensive wrestling headlines all day, every day. Plus, WrestleChat brings you informative and entertaining podcasts like the Still Real to Us Show, the Bauer Show Podcast, and the North American Wrestling Connection each and every week. For up-to-date wrestling news and insightful wrestling views, there's only one site to turn to, and that's WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. Away from your computer? That's no problem. Take CLW83 Podcast with you wherever you go with the TuneIn Radio app. Download the free TuneIn app from the App Store or Google Play. Then search for CLW83 to connect to the latest editions of the NAWC, Touch 'Em All, the BS Big Show, and all of your other favorite CLW83 programs. CLW83, online, on demand, and on the go with the TuneIn app for Apple and Android devices. Download it today! The following program is a JWC Media production for WrestleChat.net and CLW83.com. This edition of the NAWC is
uncensored.
For 7 years.
7 years.
300 episodes and counting.
300 episodes.
The North American Wrestling Connection.
The NAWC.
Professional wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net proudly present the NAWC. Bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned this week by...
Your chance to grill Golic, the clothesline coach.
All right, we're going to finish up now on what we've been holding on to this tweet. And you're going to have to explain it quick, and then you're going to... When you sang Copacabana...
People have been asking for years. Yeah, for 10 years, I've never done it again. And years ago, we used to bring real life into wrestling, and I loved Barry Manilow. I still love Barry Manilow, mm-hmm. and I used to get teased all the time.
What's not to love?
Well, maybe I should like hip-hop or whatever. Mm-hmm. But,
you can like both.
Right. But I love Barry Manilow, so one time they came in, and they kind of surprised me, and Rock and I are doing our thing, and he's like, hey, by the way, don't you like Barry Manilow? I'm like, what?
Rock says this.
He goes, I want you to sing Copacabana right now. And so I did. And it sounded a little something like this.
Go on now. You got to sing it.
Oh, I didn't know.
This is just a word.
Hot is up north of Havana. At the Copacabana. Music and fashion were always the fashion at the Copa.
They fell in love.
Fell.
Oh, my God.
See.
Yeah.
But see, I used to listen to it a lot more.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I thought they told me the words were going to be there.
I thought they were as well. Yeah. You got thrown off.
Good job, Liam.
Go for the other one. Right next to it now.
Go. Okay. Go right. Oh. There you go. Nice. There you go. Music and fashion were all. They fell in love. That's going to do it for us today.
I'm so sorry we did this.
Smooth exit.
I apologize to everybody that this ever happened.
We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day.
I'm sorry this happened.
Mike and Mike.
My bad.
What did I just hear? I'm not sure what I just heard, but surprisingly, that is not the strangest thing we've heard this week in a very, very sound bite-filled edition of the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman, and tonight I have around the table, let's see, why don't I start all the way on the West Coast with Mr. Ethan Muslin.
You know, When Mr. Yankovic has the number one hit, you're bound to have a weird week in everything, including wrestling.
And having a weird week in wrestling is hard.
Very.
So speaking of weird, let's check down in the Sunshine State with Mr. Waters.
It was good to open the show with a musical talent just as good as I am.
Which reminds me, you're going to make me play a soundbite later on. And finally, all the way on the other side of the planet, the one shining light of our show, Bad News Beeman.
I have no friggin' good news for that at all. That was just all bad. Bad, friggin' bad. What the hell, Jesus Christ, coach.
Your music is bad and you should feel bad.
That's...
Oh, God. Where's Wade Barrett when I need him? Bull hammer this asshole. Get him! No, but we do miss Coach on WWE TV.
Yes, and I still do double takes when I see Coach and Grisham on ESPN. Still, to this day.
Thankfully, Renee did not join them yet.
They paid her a lot of money and gave her some really juicy positions. Wow, don't take it that way.
oh, my.
They paid her a lot of money and gave her some really good, you know, got her some good gigs. Allow me to play some palate cleansing music. Slightly breaking news out of Phoenix, Arizona. A home burglar had realized he'd broken into the wrong house. When he stepped out the door to see that the owner was just pulling up. Yes, somebody was stupid enough to break into Daniel Bryan's house. To which they saw who it was, fled. Bryan caught one of them and put him in the cattle mutilation. I mean, What did he end
rear
up putting? A rear naked choke. Thank you. Held the culprit down until the police arrived, and the rest of them and the other suspect ran off.
And didn't let go until the police counted to five.
Yes.
Because remember, he has until five.
Exactly.
He admitted up front that he had put the guy in a rear naked choke, but not too hard. He didn't want to hurt him. Just wanted to make sure he was subdued until the police showed up. Yes, he wanted to say that he put this guy in the yes lock and he was tapping when the cops pulled up. So... Daniel Bryan just doesn't have any downtime, does he, Ethan?
No, I mean, he's still trying to recover from his neck injury, and goddamn, he's still trying to get action in.
Although, you know, he's doing...
That's not even counting any action he gets in the house. Hello.
Hello. Let's see, there's a sound for that. Anyway. Chris, I know we're joking about the whole fact that, you know, we're throwing a whole bunch of wrestling jokes on top of the fact that Daniel Bryan brought this guy down. To all of the people out there that say wrestling is fake, I dare you to go 30 seconds against anybody, including a guy who has both wrestling and MMA training in Bryan.
Exactly. You just don't take down somebody like that, no matter how big they are and how small they are, how big they are, whatever. If they have the right training, they can take you down in a hurry. Speaking of all that, though, somebody had a neat point on a board that I go to that mentioned this story. I wonder if this means Vince will have a little bit more, will have even more respect for Bryan because he likes guys that are legitimate tough guys in real life.
I'm sure that got his attention, Shane, but I don't think Bryan really needed anything more to impress Vince at this point.
Oh, hell no. I mean, he had the fans behind him already. Everyone loves him, and I don't know what it is, but it seems like the Danielsons just love police attention. I mean, they've just gone like 48 hours with police involved. I mean, Brie with getting Stephanie McMahon arrested. 24 hours later, hello.
Wait a minute. Oh, my God. Conspiracy. Stephanie sent those guys.
Oh, God.
Stephanie sent those guys. They just showed up at the wrong time.
Take off your R-Truth sponsored tinfoil hat and just think about it for a second.
Cold spicy. Anyway.
We did hear that these men were Hispanic males. Well, at least now I know what Camacho and Hunico are doing in their spare times.
We know if one of the guys got away on a bicycle, that's true.
And there's no way to catch the pimp bike. So yes, Daniel Bryan is at least we know that he is happy and healthy and is keeping his house safe from other burglars.
Yes! 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 Yes!
But I will admit, there was at least... Okay, I wouldn't necessarily call it duplicity, but, like, Daniel... This just shows you how much of a genuine guy that Bryan Danielson is, okay? He goes in front of media, and he says he wasn't worried about the house, he wasn't worried about the material objects that were inside, he and his wife were worried about their dog. The first thing they thought about was their dog. When they pulled up to a house and see two guys running out the back door.
You'd be surprised how many people will care about their dog more than other things when they've had it for a while.
Yeah, oh, exactly. And we even heard that one of the objects that was about to get stolen was Bree's late father's bracelet that was handed down to her. I was like, oh dear, if that got stolen... Bree mode would have definitely been activated, and someone would have got messed up.
I would at that point, if Bryan had found the bracelet on the captive's person, he would have fed him to Bree, and Bree would have Bree moded all over this guy. God, you guys are taking all this wrong. Anyway, we had a pay per view on Sunday. We had a pay per view on Sunday, Battleground. Now, it's been overall panned. But you got to remember who some of this audience is that watches these shows.
I'm Mark, and I'm really smart.
The opener was amazing. Chris, did you get to see this?
Yes, I did, actually. I was able to watch the whole show, and that was a great way to start the show.
And it was very, very hard to follow up. I mean, the Paige-AJ match was okay. Swagger Rusev wasn't horrid.
Ending was wrong, but...
Don't bring that match up ever again.
Before you get too hot about this, Ethan, I'm just going to talk about the fact that a lot of people are butthurt about a couple different things about this pay-per-view. One of them, all the talk that we had last week about the fact that Rusev's gimmick was going to get torpedoed because of recent news events.
And they just decided to take the ball and run with it, which I did appreciate. At least they went with it.
The good news to this, Shane, is that she did not mention what specific event in particular, in her promo.
Now, see, that's what I've been telling people that have been getting all butthurt about this. It's like, seriously? Drink some concrete and harden the hell up. Like, Jesus Christ. all she said was due to recent events. Like, she could have been talking about anything, but everyone just instantly goes for the MH17 crosses. It's like, whoa! And then they're like, "Oh, we gotta stop pushing Rusev because of this." It's like Vince McMahon says, "Screw you all."
No, he said, "Watch this. You know, I'm still gonna make you mad. It's good heel work.
Very good heel work.
Plus, this even with the ending they had, this is not over yet, as Nikki and I can both attest to."
Now, Ethan, I know you're upset, and something about a switched pick.
Yeah, I'm thinking that because things occurred mainly due to peer pressure, I ended up switching my pick.
Ethan, I have got some bad news for you. You're a grown-ass man. No one peer pressured you to do anything. So, like I said, just deal with it.
It probably would not have mattered anyway.
Well, if anything, we got an apology, even though we didn't need one. Because people were that butthurt. And I quote, "Last night's segment during Battleground was in no way referring to the Malaysia Airlines tragedy. The storyline with characters Rusev and Lana has been part of WWE program for more than 3 months. WWE apologizes to anyone who misunderstood last night's segment and was offended."
Which is the Fed's way of saying, you know what, if you thought that's what we were talking about, then you're the stupid dumbass.
Yeah. Essentially, you know, they're saying, oh, you thought we mentioned something tragic? She mentioned nothing at all.
I mean, we could have been talking about the great crisis, you know, the great Putin chest hair crisis of 2006.
Ooh, anyway. So, a couple of other surprises. Jericho actually defeating Wyatt. I don't think any of us called that.
I don't think we did.
I don't think anybody picked The Miz with the IC title.
I thought Johnny Cage won it.
I'll tell you what. The pictures that are floating around of Johnny Cage parodies for The Miz, if Miz ever learns the split punch as his finisher, I will actually become a fan. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
Which means that Kenta's going to have to learn Hadouken.
Oh, really? Really?
Really?
Well, someone had to go there.
No, I wanted Kenta to use the dragon, you know, use the European uppercut and call it a dragon punch.
What about the bicycle kick?
Let me get back with you.
So, Nikki, in what? Hindsight, you want Miz to go from using the skull-crushing finale to the ball-crushing finale. Is that what we're going with this?
Correct. Absolutely, right. 100% correct. He will get disqualified a lot of times, but I will have huge respect for a guy that can actually do a split. Anyway, speaking of guys who can do splits,
Before you go that route, if going by the fact that Miz learned his last major move from a pro wrestler in the figure four from Ric Flair, if Chyna ever gets back from the company, she can teach him that move.
Ouch.
Speaking of guys who can do splits, Rob Van Dam was missing. I was looking forward to seeing Zen Meister in the middle of this mess, but he was not out there. Official word is that he had an injury. But that was not specified.
If that injury is a giant fog cloud occurring somewhere, I don't know, maybe he got lost.
Well, I wasn't even going to go that way. I was going to use an old joke about somebody's feelings getting hurt. Probably shouldn't miss any ring time over it. Oh yes, the other story that came out of that. Heath Slater actually eliminated somebody who mattered.
And the Twitter feeds blew up about it too.
Actually, Shane, your boy decided to really rub it into Cesaro's face about getting eliminated by Heath Slater.
Oh yeah, I can't remember who it was. Someone in the NAWC he also blew up about it as well. Like Cesaro went from being Paul Heyman guy to Heath Slater's latest victim. Oh, wait, that was me that said that. Never mind.
So. The other thing I have to do is about the main event, which was actually a very good match up to the last couple of minutes. No, I lie. Good finish. And what WWE did was play it very, very safe. Either that or they just wanted me to play this.
John Cena is going to win. At the pay-per-view this coming Sunday, he is the poster boy of the company, and there is no chance in hell that he's going to lose.
Yes!
Oh my God.
There's a reason I kept that. And Chris, I apologize, but the soundboard went kablooey on me last week, and I would have played it then.
It couldn't handle my great talent of singing, you know. I'm the Aiden English of this board here.
So who's Simon Gotch?
I'll get back to you on that one.
All right. So the reason to get back to one match that I didn't mention is because it didn't happen. But they gave us a hell of a taste, and the problem was if I walked away with a bad taste in my mouth because what I wanted to happen didn't happen. But that's only because the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, does listen to his workers.
I will screw up the entire pay-per-view!
And boy, did he. Instead of waiting for Rollins to head to the ring, he jumps him in the back. We have a nice little brawl that gets broken up. Supposedly, Ambrose gets kicked out of the building. Rollins gets a win by forfeit. Ambrose attacks again. And they finally decide, you know what, we're going to get Rollins out of the building, so no cash in for anybody who used that wild card. And Ambrose was a crazy enough idiot to lock himself in the trunk of a car, since he knows about the child safety release, to jump Rollins one more time in the parking lot. Ethan, what were you thinking after all this went down? You know, we still didn't get the match.
We didn't get the match, but we got a damn good preview of what's to come. And I am very excited when this thing finally does blow off. These guys are just going to go absolutely balls out crazy in their match. I just hope they don't go into a ball pit like another hardcore match that happened a while back.
And here I thought you were going to refer to a very, very fail convention.
No. That's just added ball pit. This is getting a new ball pit.
So, Shane, are you okay with them pushing this battle to SummerSlam?
Oh, hell yeah. I'm already excited for SummerSlam. I mean, with your Uncle Paul's promise to all of us WWE Universe, and now with Ambrose versus Rollins being pushed back to SummerSlam, and the rumored thing of Stephanie McMahon facing Brie Bella, oh, hell yeah. SummerSlam has got my money already.
Chris, your thoughts?
Seth and Dean will kill each other at SummerSlam. That's my thoughts, and I'm ready to see it.
Now, despite all of our nonsense, you know, all of our nonsense during pickups, apparently we don't know what the hell we're talking about.
I think it was a little thing called points.
Or lack thereof. Mr. Beeman, I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Let me guess, I finished in last again? God damn it.
In a very, very last position.
That sucks, man.
But if it makes you feel any better, Jason and I are barely ahead of you at 3.5.
I feel semi-better, but...
And just ahead of us, Muckamuck, Jim, and Tyler Brown at 4. Chris, you did respectable. You and 4th hit 5. Ethan, you had 5.5, and I know why you're grousing now.
Mm-hmm.
Because your winner at 6 points even, and the Battleground Fizzleweight Champion... I am going to go over the spreadsheet 2 more times to make sure, because the winner was Stat Boy Josh Henniger. the man who makes the spreadsheet.
All right, Cole. Shenanigans!
So, the dust settles from Battleground, and we go into a Monday Night Raw, where the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, didn't sound all that pleased either that John Cena won.
Oh, God.
Now, I'll admit, I'm mad. I am very mad today. I am madder than I have ever been in a long time. But I have options on how I handle this. I have options. You know what I'm going to do about it? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tweet my displeasure. That's right. I'm going to jump on social media and I'm going to tweet about it until my fingers bleed. I might even send an Instagram or a Vine. That's right. And on that tweet, in that tweet, in however many characters I get, I am going to threaten. That's right. If I don't get what I want, I'm going to riot. And if that doesn't work, then by God, me and my friend Mark, we're going to stop watching.
Ladies and gentlemen, Meta H is the best Triple H.
Oh.
But Jim brings up a good point. You notice he didn't mention Tout anywhere in there.
That's
no.
True.
Because Vine's doing a whole lot better.
Now, I'm going to be perfectly honest here. As soon as Raw ended, I did my research here. I went and looked at all Raw reviews done. The amount of people I saw that were pissed off with this Triple H review, it was amazing. I was just like, Triple H 1, Smarks 0.
I'll just get that on the board there.
And it was just brilliant. I had a tear in my eye. And if you watch Hunter carefully, it was everything he could not to smile while he was seeing all this.
He was trying very hard not to corpse.
And he just has so much fun pressing IWC buttons like that.
He does.
I'm an asshole.
And I don't care. I love it. I absolutely, positively love it. Keep that up, Hunter.
It's like, oh, hey, what's that giant hole? What's this big giant hole that I'm seeing over here? Oh, that's just the fourth wall. Don't worry about that.
It's just someplace I get to lean on while I'm trying to talk.
It's someplace where a little pink pony runs around. I don't know.
You are going to make me do something like that. Remember, one of the things about the fourth wall is that we're not supposed to acknowledge it. She's the only one who's allowed to acknowledge it.
No, 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 no!
Anyway. This was one of the highlights of Raw, because we had obvious story is obvious through this show, Shane. As the big question, who's going to face John Cena at SummerSlam?
Kenta.
Oh,
no, wait.
Yes. Oh, yes. Who indeed? Oh, dear God. And we started off Raw how we started off the kickoff friggin' Raw with everyone coming out and, making their claims and... it was good. I'm really impressed with Roman Reigns. He's definitely coming good on the mic. That just led to a not a triple threat, handicap match between himself, Randy Orton, and Kane.
Which, did I mention that I like Randy Orton when he's under somebody else's boots?
Doesn't stay under the He doesn't stay under them too long, though. He slips out.
Unfortunately, yes, he does.
Baby oil! No!
So, we, you know, Roman Reigns is continuing to be carefully built into that next main eventer, and I'm enjoying the ride. Go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, definitely. He's someone to look out for. In fact, he's been getting a lot of rubs from a lot of important people. I mean, Ric Flair's given him the handshake and said he's one for the future. And then we had Dave Bautista, who's doing Guardian of the Galaxy interviews, and even he said, oh, man, he's going to be the first of the Shield members to win a major title.
And I firmly believe that. I see, you know, I don't know how Rollins' cash-in is going to happen, although I hope he's smart enough to wait till Mania.
I have an idea of that, but I'll let you know when we get talking about another thing in the show.
Okay. Despite Jericho's victory on Sunday night, he unfortunately didn't quite make it to Raw. Though they did a hell of a job of making it look like he was there. They put out the whole set for the highlight reel. They had the mics, they had the chairs, they had the obesely expensive Geritron 5000 in HD. But where's Jericho? Actually, Ethan, the best answer I heard was that his ears were bleeding because of the Florida concert.
That would not be surprising.
Now, only one of his ear was bleeding, so it wasn't that.
Well, he had to keep at least one ear preserved because he needed to hop a plane to the West Coast to go enjoy his album dropping.
Hmm.
And I'm not saying this as a wrestling fan. I'm saying this as a music fan. Buy this album. Period. Paragraph. Then go buy Mandatory Fun. Weird Al still needs some love. Anyway,
make that damn thing platinum.
Yes, he deserves it. Now, Shane, I know you were very disappointed in the AJ Page match from Sunday.
Yes, but thank you, Raw. You have re-given me faith in humanity.
In the fact that Paige absolutely lost her ever-loving mind.
Oh, yeah. Is it? It's fair of me to say I found Paige hot, like 100%. But just like CM Punk said, you gotta love crazy chicks. And she went bananas. That reminded me of an Attitude Era women beatdown. That was awesome.
All that was missing was clothing stripping.
PG, my friend, PG.
Yeah, I know.
God damn you, Chris. Now my mind's just wandered. I hate you.
Do you need a moment, Shane?
Hey, in the landscape of the mind, WWE is TVMA.
So let me bring things back over here. Cesaro apparently landed on his head Sunday night when he shows up and announces that he is no longer a Paul Heyman guy. Why would you quit? Is it those shiny dollar signs that you're seeing from the authority? Be careful, Mr. Cesaro.
Or is it the severe lack of dollar signs because of said advocate?
I wasn't gonna go there, but
no, but somebody had to since Statboy's not here. If Cesaro had stuck around just a little bit longer, he would have seen some residual dollar signs. Maybe a couple of dollars thrown his way if things go very well with the DVD and Blu-ray that's dropping in a couple of weeks. Oh.
I'm going to be the first one to say I'm definitely going to buy that DVD. That looks absolutely awesome.
It is properly pre-ordered in Blu-ray,
I've got some bad news. I don't do Blu-ray. I only do the normal DVDs, but anyways.
That's fine. In a week full of oddities, we had also the oddity of a wild Zack Ryder appearing.
Yeah, I was wondering if we had a full moon on Monday because of that whole segment, especially the end of that segment.
Zack Ryder shows up. That's a little odd. Zack Ryder shows up with a chick on each arm. Okay, something's wrong.
Also, Zack Ryder comes out without the jobber entrance.
Yeah, Zack Ryder actually gets his entrance. So, three things already out of order. So this probably baffled Fandango enough that he ended up losing to Zack Ryder. Ladies and gentlemen, Zack Ryder hasn't won a match on Raw in almost 2 years.
In fact, I think I was at the last one he won on Raw.
So, any other week this would be news. But we have even bigger news than that.
And you would have the whole community saying, "Oh my God, Zack Ryder's back!" But no.
I don't think, you know, what happened with Fandango is necessarily a burial. I think it was just a little piece of storyline, since the two ladies on Zack Ryder's arm happened to be both of Fandango's ex-girlfriends.
I don't know about anyone else here, but I just find it extremely stupid. Like, there's no good way that this storyline's going to end.
Let me counter that, Shane. I do have one idea how this could end that could be kind of awesome in a way. Now, Fandango is being screwed over by two women. In the PG era, he's not allowed to hit women. That doesn't mean he can't hire a woman to, one, be his new dance partner, and two, get back at both of them. So, since they're giving him all this grief, perhaps Fandango needs to give them a little bad karma.
Sweet mother of God, okay? No, no, no. I swear to God, if I see that, I'm changing my channel straight away. Like, just, I'm not even kidding here. I will literally change my channel. If they bring back karma and karma starts doing friggin' tango with Fandango, hell no.
What if she's just his bodyguard and just destroys them for him?
That's fine.
Okay. That's fine. But no, I don't want karma dancing either. I want to see karma kill people like she was supposed to the first time around.
Yeah.
So what else? Oh. In another round of meta, we'd had some incidents with the Bella Twins through the show. Since Brie was allowed to come watch her poor sister get beat up by several other divas, Stephanie had to rub it in Brie's face. So Brie called her names, and Stephanie slapped the ever-loving daylights out of her. Brie was then escorted out of the arena. Fast forward to a little later in the show. And after Flo Rida
was there,
sang, performed
with giant emphasis quotes,
we watched as one of the Jimmy Squad was helpless to defend poor Ms. McMahon as two guys with badges showed up, backed Maven Jimmy off, and they put Steph in cuffs. Get the jokes in here now, guys.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah, see, I thought she put Hamner in cuffs, not the other way around.
I thought they took turns, personally.
I will say, when she was getting arrested, somebody put up a GIF online, and it was pretty much showing like father, like daughter when Vince got arrested one time on Raw.
And that's pretty much how she played it. I mean, she was screaming and protesting all the way out. Hunter was, of course, helpless Hunter. To stop them, even though he wanted to. Then he started dropping metas on us. He called Joey Mercury by name. He mentioned Jerry McDivitt, the pitbull lawyer of WWE. And to answer a message board question, when he was yelling for Jimmy, he was yelling for one of the WWE security guards. Little insight on this. All of the security guards are referred to as Jimmy. This is a requirement of the job, apparently. With the exception of the female who works in their security group, we just call her Sassy. This is a quote. I asked her, I can't call you Jimmy.
Not even like Jane or anything like that?
I should call her Jane and see what she does. But I just yell Sassy just to see what, and she usually turns around and just shakes her head at me.
I just wonder what Hunter's problems with hybrids are, though.
He's just probably not impressed. And just as a little icing on the cake, see if I still have it. Yes. Somebody who's been thrown out of a couple arenas lately had some advice for her. Allow me.
How is Stephanie McMahon? Has anybody heard from Stephanie McMahon? She's in jail tonight. Stephanie, I have a message for you. I hope you can hear me. I'm going to try and get a hold of you tonight and get you some phone numbers of some guys that I know that have gotten me out of similar situations than you're in tonight, okay? Their names are Sneaky Pete and Fat Tony. They're good guys. They're good at what they do, guys, okay? And they've helped me out in the past before, all right? And I want you to know something, all right? If any of those big, burly women in jail tonight try and mess with you or try to push you or rough you up, you stand up to them, okay? Because you're a McMahon, all right? Stay strong, Stephanie, okay? We're all praying for you.
Such genuine concern.
Right.
Such loyalty. What?
Yes, very, very concerning, yes.
Yeah, in other words, Dean Ambrose will be sending China down to the cells very soon.
Or if you can find her, karma.
Or even worse, Asia.
Oh, come on, Asia's cool. I'm actually taller than Asia.
Really?
Yes.
Huh. Didn't know that. But another board suggestion of that, those guys that he was talking about, some people said that the third person that he could have mentioned there was this guy named Solomon that could have been one of the guys he had to help him out.
let me guess. Solomon makes keys?
Repeat that, please.
Solomon makes keys?
Solomon's very good at electronic keys.
And Solomon would also make Stephanie McMahon eat crow. Yeah, that's right. I went there.
There you go. We have a winner. We have a winner. So, do I even need to go to the main event? Of course not. We already knew the answer. My dear Uncle Paul already had the answer, and then some idiot had leaked it online the week before. It would have been more epic.
To be fair, we kind of saw it coming a mile away.
Admitted.
I've seen it coming since WrestleMania. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's kind of on par with a TNA telegraph.
Don't curse them like that. Come on.
The only reason TNA telegraphs is just the fact that they do a lot of pre-taping. Crap. Oh. All that's in here is a sound clip. Hang on.
How you feeling?
No, I feel fucking awesome. Look at me. How do I look?
You look awesome.
That's the important question. It's not so much how you feel anymore. It's how you look.
How did this all come together for you?
Oh, you know what? I've had so many friends in and out of the music business, both in front of the camera and behind the scenes, that I was asked a long time ago. I think, honestly, I think originally I was asked to host it, but I had prior engagements that wouldn't have allowed me to be here on a Monday. And those fell through, and then now here I am. I'm hosting the red carpet. I'm doing all kinds of stuff. I'm all over the show tonight. Everyone's going to be sick of seeing me. They're going to hate me, you know. But that's basically how it all happened. It's just kind of years and years of connecting and having friends and, you know, it being a good fit.
What have the last 6 months looked like for you?
Man, I don't know. I don't really remember. There's chunks.
Because I think it was in Cleveland that you were last with that company.
There's chunks of my life that I don't remember due to staph infections and concussions, and you know, you can't blame it all on drugs with this guy, because you know I'm straight edge. What's been going on in the past 6 months? Boom. What's up?
Yeah, that's congratulations
right.
to you.
That's right. Off the market.
So can we call you, are you a WWE superstar or former WWE superstar?
I'm CM Punk. I'm just a superstar.
Do you think there's ever a chance we'll see you back in a squared circle?
No.
Never?
No.
Wow.
Never, ever. Never, ever, ever. They're gonna go crazy about
they
that
really
on,
are.
On Twitter.
They
and
really
gonna,
are.
They're gonna like hold me to it, and they're gonna yeah, whatever.
Punk, thanks so much for your
no
time.
No problem.
Have fun tonight.
I will.
Appreciate it.
I'm already having fun.
Now the rumors start. Punk at the Royal Rumble confirmed. He didn't say it in the Chris Jericho voice, so we don't have to hold him to it. It's got a point.
Oh, I've got to do this. It's gonna piss some people off, but I don't care. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid I have some bad news for you. All of you that wanted to see CM Punk back, he's not coming back ever. So you are all gonna have to go back to your miserable little lives of daydreaming about Punk and just remembering the fact that he pretty much just flashed it in your face that he doesn't give a rat's ass about any of you. Thank you, and good night.
Yeah, he pretty much doesn't, but, I mean, to be fair, he kind of has to. I mean, man's health is at stake, for criminy's sake.
So, I mean, he didn't, you know, I've seen the video of this, and he does look a whole lot better. He really does.
Yeah, he does. He doesn't look as bloody worn out or anything like he used to. Looks a hell of a lot happier than what he was back when he back with his last run with WWE. So yeah.
So you know, more power to him. If he doesn't come back, I'm not going to be sad. If he comes back, I'll love every second of it.
They'll tease the comeback, and then here comes Paul Heyman again to troll everybody.
Well, of course.
Worst they'll have on Chicago, they'll have his music play up, and then Damian Sandow comes out dressed like him.
They don't want to risk that.
Then the rest of the entrance is just troll-la-la-la-la-la-la-la.
Followed by gunfire.
Well, we are in Chicago, if that's the case.
That's why I don't think they'll do it, because I want Damian Sandow to live.
Yeah, Damian Sandow comes out, best of the intelligent!
Well, in that city, he probably would be.
Ooh.
Anyway.
Nikki, before we move on, there was one thing I wanted to mention. You, since I mentioned the idea for how Seth Rollins' cash-in would go.
Sure.
Since Brock was named the challenger, and I'm going to put this out there right now, there's no way in hell Cena's leaving SummerSlam with the titles. I'm picturing Lesnar wins, the Authority tries to make amends with him, Lesnar just blows them off in the most epic way possible by beating the shit out of Helmsley. And then the Authority and everybody is trying to go after Lesnar, including the Seth Rollins cash-in, but Lesnar just destroys anybody in his path. That's how I see it going.
I'm okay with this.
I have a worst scenario, which people aren't going to like, but it's probably more realistic.
Okay.
We're gonna see exactly what we saw the last time Lesnar and Cena fought. Lesnar is gonna beat the holy crap out of Cena. That's not a lie. He will destroy him. But Cena will miraculously win. But Lesnar will just beat him down afterwards. Seth Rollins will come in, give him a curb stomp, and that'll be it.
I don't know. Cena's got a train to catch.
Yeah, I'm not one to think that. I'm imagining the Bork Laser will win the title, and somewhere down the line, maybe in the next month or two, a Wild Danielson appears, reclaims his title, and then you have the cash in, setting up a bit of a feud with Rollins and Bryan for later on down the road.
Say WrestleMania.
Perchance WrestleMania.
That's a bit ahead. For one more thing from Raw, and then I will get on to some of the other bigger news. Although this would be considered the biggest news when it comes to a specific message board who loves to make jokes about certain things happening in the wrestling business. Monday night after Kofi Kingston and Biggie Langston, yes, I still call him that, lost a match, they were approached by what I'm going to call Malcolm Xavier Woods, who essentially told them, stop being faces, you only get anywhere if you're a heel.
Let the implications begin.
As everybody has compared it directly to The Nation.
Well,
to which there was nothing left of the message of this message board in particular when this happened.
No, there wouldn't be. It's like, oh my, it's like you go with the thing that's worked before, and The Nation in its time was probably the most hated stable in all of the Fed. So if it worked, go with it.
I'm just curious that in this politically correct new century, can we get away with something like this?
They can if they play it like they did on Main Event. They were technically still faces because they fought Heath Slater and Titus O'Neil. We were not exactly faces yet, even though Slater probably thinks he is.
Titus just wants to break Slater's face, but that's, you know.
Yes. So, and they just played it as they were a lot more serious. So, yeah, no boom drops, no clapping the hands, none of that.
And just given how Titus has been treating Slater, one of two things is going to happen. Those two are going to keep going as a successful tag team, or Titus is going to kick Slater to the curb and side up with Woods and company.
I would be fine with this.
So it's going to be interesting to see where this goes, and I'm just going to be listening very closely. Not necessarily watching, listening.
You gotta listen to it very closely. And although, to be honest, with how sensitive the politically correct bunch get when they have something that crawls up their ass, I think it would be very easy to get some good heat off of this stable. I mean, you have one simple disagreement, you can have that entire stable go nuts, accusing them of all sorts of random nonsense.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I have the one minor tiff, and then all of a sudden you have this entire faction coming down on you saying you're racist.
And to this, I'm kind of, you know, don't take this the wrong way, but I'd almost want Heath Slater to end up being their Owen Hart.
Ouch.
Well, they got to do something with Blake Slater. I mean, he got his two bandmates taken away from him, so... if they're going to do a Nation of Domination 2.0, might as well make him the Owen Hart of the bunch.
I'd be amused. I would be thoroughly amused.
Did they dress him like a road sign, though?
Oh, please? No. If they dress him like they did with Owen, then, yeah, no, people are going to be pissed. But if
that'll
just keep him...
people off, but that'd be funny as hell.
Yeah. But what I found even more entertaining was the fact that we had TNA fans. I kid you not. TNA fans bitching about this. It was like, oh, these guys are just ripping off MVP and company. It's like, have you been watching TNA recently? They've ripped off everything WWE has done.
And they continue to borrow WWE talent for a little bit of buzz.
As is the typical MO of TNA. Hey, look at this big guy we got who recently got fired from the Fed, and he's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, poor big Zeke, man. Like, he had just recovered from his friggin' knee surgery and everything else. Comes in and gets one show. That's it. One show. And Gene Snitsky walked out the door and said to Big Zeke, it wasn't my fault. But... oh, damn, come on. It had to be said.
I know it had to be said, but damn you anyway.
Now, did Gene clean his teeth by then, and was he dealing with some old lady's feet by then?
I'm surprised TNA did not get into the thing about Snitsky and feet. Whose microphone's getting mangled there?
I think you're Waters.
I believe it's Waters, Mr. Waters.
Mr. Waters, if you've got to beat somebody up, at least put the microphone down.
My mic was on mute just then, and it wasn't me.
Well, it's coming from your end, so please mute for the moment. Thank you. So what I'm going to bring about is what really destroyed the internet. Ethan, there's a Comic-Con in your general direction.
Yeah, about 125 miles south of here. I don't know what that convention is all about. I don't know.
All I know is that somehow the wrestling universes converged in a means that would only happen 2 or 3 years ago. We would say it only happened in fan fiction.
You mean wrestlers are finally coming to Equestria?
No, but when that episode airs, I'm there. Actually, if a wrestler voices a pony, it better be Biggie. Anyway, the fact that you had in the same room, close enough to pose together, icons of WWF, WCW, ECW, and Ring of Honor. All in one photo.
Things that will probably never be ever put together again in the history of ever.
And it's, you know, it staggers the mind when you really think about this. My dear Uncle Paul, Hulk Hogan, Daniel Bryan, and Sting. All at this Comic-Con panel, shaking hands, exchanging pleasantries, letting the pictures be taken. My brain hurts.
Mine is hurting as well, just from the boggling of it.
Shane, when you first heard this, what did this do to your mind?
My mind went into overdrive. I was like, oh, hell yes. I'm like, please, for the love of God, tell me that Sting will be on Raw next week. Just tell me. Say it. Say it at the Comic-Con. Say something. And he's saying, I don't know when I'm going to be in WWE. But I even asked the fans, do you want me wrestling one more match? And they friggin' erupted.
Chris, your thought.
My thought, when I first saw that picture, my grin was wider than the Grinch's when he had that wonderful, horrible idea.
Because I was, you know, as somebody who's probably the Janie come lately to the wrestling business out of everybody here, my jaw was on the floor, and it took a little bit to sink in. Holy crap, this is really going to happen.
There was one kind of weird, funny thing that came to my mind when Sting walked over to your dear Uncle Paul. I was wondering if they were having early 90s WCW flashbacks.
My dear Uncle Paul did not have a phone handy, or at least not one of those big-ass old-school ones that he used to carry.
And Lord knows he's not going to break his iPhone.
No.
And Medusa was nowhere nearby either.
So.
No, she was too busy crushing cars in Anaheim Stadium or somewhere. I don't know.
Woohoo! Anyway.
Although we don't know if. Although there is a possibility Heyman did have a Rick Rude action figure in his pocket.
You know, I can see that. I know you meant that as a joke, but I can see this.
I can also see down the line that Paul's like, you know, when Brock's done killing Cena, I'm going to get you on board as a Paul Heyman guy as well, just so you know.
So, speaking of my dear Uncle Paul, he made a brief appearance on Talk is Jericho. Speaking of an awesome sight, Chris Jericho, Paul Heyman, and Edge in the same room. Where do I sign?
I don't know where you can sign, but I can definitely tell you I listened to that podcast, and that was the best podcast ever. Oh, well, besides this one, but hey.
Well, I need to listen to it mainly just because I want to comment on a story that was told.
I don't mean to toot my own horn, but I called it! Woo!
Jericho told a very specific story on the podcast regarding Elimination Chamber 2010. As most of you remember, this was the night that Undertaker was set on fire because of a pyrotechnician's inability to see where the dead man was standing. None of the flambé actually made it to video. Any evidence is only on fan cams and to the witnesses that were in attendance, and unfortunately from my seat, I didn't see it happen, but I heard somebody say it. Taker stripped off his coat, his hat, and the belt, and went into the chamber. Ended up sitting in his isopod for 20 minutes. They were pouring water on him to keep him from, you know, to keep the burns from blistering. He still participated in the match. He wasn't happy, but he still participated. Jericho commented that, you know, putting him in the walls during the match was especially painful because he had to be down on his stomach and his chest where some of those burns ended up. Now, we joked, a friend of mine and I joked about it after the show when we found out what had happened, that, you know, the pyrotech was pretty much going to face the wrath of the Undertaker, because the first thing he would say as he stormed back through the curtain,
"Who in the hell do you think you are?"
Well, Taker came back through the curtain and Vince was there. Taker looked him square in the eye and he says, "I don't want an apology. I don't need an I'm sorry. But you go find that pyrotech. I never want to see him again, because if I do, I will kill him." To my understanding, that man no longer has a job and has not been seen since.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be seen near Undertaker if he even heard that story. I would try to get as far away from him as I could anyway.
Ethan, for anybody else, this would be a death threat and people would be on the phone to the cops.
As well, they probably should, but let's not forget, this is the dead man. This is the toughest guy in the back. The man who can pretty much pummel you to oblivion, get you up, and then pummel you again.
Yeah. What are you doing? What's it look like? I'm kicking your ass! I'm sorry, a man in his near 50s who I know could beat the living piss out of anybody tells me he's going to kill somebody. I believe him. And I'm not going to stop him. I don't know, Chris, I know you weren't part of the podcast group when this went down. Shane, Ethan, we talked about it on the podcast. And we had joked that this guy was pretty much dead anyway.
Oh, yeah. I can even specifically remember the fact I said, that guy is right now rest in peace. And funnily enough, hasn't been seen since. Holy crap.
So it's just fun to know that there's a little bit of truth even in such a legend.
Oh, definitely, but I would not have blamed Taker for being pissed. I mean, the fact that he got burnt and stayed in that match for like half an hour, I was like, he would have been throbbing.
And the next night, I remember, I didn't attend Raw the following night, but I do remember seeing, when Taker came out, that you could see the spots that they had put cream on, the burns that he had on his face. He had burns on his chest and his stomach. He had burns in a couple of other places that,
The man looked orange more than pale, let's just be honest.
Right. As in medium rare orange.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd probably feel the same way if somebody set me on fire. Yeah, I'd want to kill him too, and I think it'd be justified. And like I said, if Taker told me he was going to go kill somebody, I wouldn't stop him.
You know, and we talk about how tough Taker is, and people like fear him and everything else. This just shows you how severe that Brock Lesnar damaged him. At WrestleMania 30, for him to be taken away in an ambulance. Like, this is a man that got set on fire, for God's sakes.
And this was the first time he'd actually been set on fire. He actually had Kane's pyro blow up in his face once. It didn't hit him. He was standing on the steps, but they set off Kane's pyro in his face. You want to know a tough guy? He did not flinch. I know it's coming, and I still jump.
I just want to know something, though, because I have seen this man live, okay? If you're a pyrotechnic, how the bloody hell do you not see him? This man is close to 7 foot tall. I mean, when I saw him, I mean, God, I remember me and my father went to a live WWE event. My father shed himself when he saw him. Jesus!
Well, if... what event was this? I want to say Bragging Rights. Orton Cena in an Iron Man match.
Oh, yeah.
No, you remember the part when Orton started trying to kill Cena with the pyro?
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay. The pyro position you should be able to see. Now, the thing is, though, the elimination chamber set is slightly different. The layout was set up differently, and I'm not making any excuses for the pyro guy because I don't want the Undertaker coming after me. But depending on where the pyro station was, you could be at an angle where either A, you can't clearly see where the Undertaker is standing, or B, I'm not going to say Undertaker's going to make a mistake. I refuse to tell him to say that because he'll reach through the phone and never mind. mistakes happen, but this could have been very, very costly.
Yeah, that could have cost Vince a lot, actually. When was that? That was only five years ago.
That was 2010.
2010. Oh, so 4 years ago. So that would have cost Vince four WrestleManias. Oh, yep.
And given that he was coming, they were, I think this was the year they were building up for, was it End of an Era, or was this just him and Triple H?
That was the.
This was for the. That was the same match, wasn't it? That Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, that was the first, the second Shawn Michaels match they were building up to, because Shawn did the sort of run in.
That's right. Shawn crashed the match late. I remember now. So this was leading up to Shawn's retirement match.
So think about that for a second. This pyrotechnician not only almost screwed up two careers, because if Taker didn't make that WrestleMania, Shawn Michaels would have been gone. Like, wouldn't have had the best last match of his career.
So, that guy doesn't deserve to have his job. And be honest, since he hasn't been seen since, I think Undertaker found him. And Deadman, we understand. Now, I've only got a couple of things from SmackDown that I wanted to talk about. One of them is that sick Dean Ambrose Cesaro no DQ match.
Evan, I haven't gotten a chance to watch it yet, but I'm going to say, from what I've heard, it's a really crazy one.
Let's just say the crowd was to the point that they thought my dear Uncle Paul booked this.
Sounds fun. I like it.
There were a lot of some kendo sticks and a lot of chairs involved. And I promise I won't tell you any more, because you will enjoy every second of this.
And if this is any sign of what they're going to do for Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, oh boy, we're in for a good one.
Oh yeah, I'm almost certain though that at one point in the match, Ambrose was probably looking for a fluorescent light tube.
And all he found was the kendo stick, so I know he was disappointed.
Yeah. I'm sure inside he was screaming, Jesus!
And although I'm sure he found solace in a couple of the spots with the chairs, that maybe a light tube would have been softer.
Probably.
Actually, I'm kind of thankful he's not doing the light tubes thing anymore. That needs, to be honest, in the indie scene, that needs to be banned. There's a whole bunch of wrong with it.
Oh yeah, definitely a lot of wrong.
But that's for another show. The other big surprise of SmackDown, and you know, I hate to spoil this one for you, Chris. Really.
I read the SmackDown spoilers, don't worry.
Okay, so you already know about this.
Yeah.
So, Kane apparently was bored, because he's probably not allowed to beat up Randy Orton. He stomps out to the ring and he says, send me a victim. Well, that wasn't a victim that walked out there.
This actually aired?
As far as I know, it did. I unfortunately didn't get to finish watching the Reigns Del Rio match.
Mm. I thought that was just a post-show thing, but still.
I can look. Because I would rather the show have ended on Reigns taking care of Del Rio than this. Nothing against the returning Big Show, who looks like he's back down to his Floyd Mayweather fight weight.
Okay, yeah, Jason says it was a dark.
Okay, my bad. So, bonus dark with Big Show and Kane wrestling each other. And I hope they actually did the mat wrestling thing they did in a match they did back in, like, 05, 06.
Only if Kane was allowed to bust out the Hurricane Rana as well.
So, I don't know if Big Show's going to be back on TV anytime soon. I wouldn't even know where to put him.
I have an evil idea about where to put him, but...
Be nice now.
No. Evil as in it would, a lot of people would hate it that way.
I've got a good idea. We want more tag teams. Put him and Kane back together as a tag team. Jesus.
There was another door.
If only for that.
Yeah.
If only for that. God, I love those two as a tag team.
My sad idea that I had was, well, they're going to try to repeat 2002 again with Show and Lesnar.
That's why
I didn't want to say it, but...
Let me put it in terms you can understand, Chris. Okay?
Okay. I don't want it either.
Sweet mother of God, man. I swear, any of your two predictions come true, I'm going to make the same promise I made to Ethan, okay? I'm going to take a flight over to America. There's going to be some bad news heading your way, okay?
So, no, I can be even worse.
We know you can, Nikki. You're a Heyman. You're supposed to piss people off.
All right. When Big Show comes back, he comes out with a great big smile on his face, and everybody's happy to see him. He strides out to the ring because everybody thinks, oh, he's going to help out John Cena. The authorities losing their mind at the top of the stage. Show gets in the ring. Cena looks up and extends his hand. And Show knocks him the hell out.
No, that's still not worse than Chris's idea, because you know what? People would actually pay to see Cena get knocked out.
Let me finish, Shane. Show comes back as part of the authority because it was something that went with that ironclad contract we got beaten over the head with a couple of years ago.
I thought that was rescinded when he got rehired, he lost that.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm like, hang on. I'd be fine with that, provided they don't make him the big bitch again.
That's true. I just don't want to see Big Show crying anymore.
That's what I said. Get him and Kane as a tag team together. Don't worry about bloody Orton, and then the authority can get the tag team titles. Hello.
I'm with that. And we have an update. More news out of Phoenix, folks. Let's see. From an interview streamed through MyFox Phoenix, Brian and Bree, along with their dog, have come across very well. It was crazy to have done Comic-Con with Hogan, Sting, and Heyman, and to get the autobiography deal set, only to be told he'll need another surgery on his elbow and then come early to catch guys in the process of robbing his house. The only thing of value that they almost got away with was a watch, not a bracelet, from Bree's father. He got a little emotional talking about it, but kept positive and made light of it. Bree said she'd been home all day until leaving to pick Brian up from the airport. Apparently, during that small window of time is when the burglars decided to move in. They actually had only been in the house for less... Brian had only had the house for less than 2 weeks and had postponed putting the alarm system in. The two men ran when Brian and Bree pulled up. Brian chased the one down. He said probably about 400 meters down the street, took him down, put him in a rear naked choke to subdue him, but not really harm him. The guy was gasping and tired, so that wasn't hard. Yelled and cussed at the guy, something usually left to Bree. Okay, that's funny. They were both a little freaked out, not sleeping well that evening, and that just worried about their personal space being invaded. They did say their neighbors were showing their support and have already offered to help watch the house while they're on the road, among other neighborhood watch initiatives already in place. One suspect who did get away, which could help in identifying him later. Brian says he feels a little shame because the guy could have had a knife or a gun and the situation could have gone a whole lot worse. But his instinct was to attack and fight, which is a humble and a strong way for Brian to come across to the public. The report was also very good into mentioning that Daniel was a former WWE World Champion and someone with a lot of fighting training. So, you know, kind of a fluff piece, but something where Brian really got a chance to show everybody to the crowd and show us how human this little monster is. Anyone?
Yeah, it's a good thing to show that, one, I'm glad the news report didn't make any bad mentions about the wrestling, but that's a minor thing. And two, it's good to know that even with all the things he's gone on, he's still in good spirits about the whole thing as well.
Yeah, Shane, given all the bad news that's come through Brian's life, I'm surprised the man can even smile.
Oh, indeed. I mean, he's had a rough road, Brian. I mean, God, his father passed away when he was on his honeymoon. He's found out that he has to have multiple surgeries for his neck and shoulder. And now his bloody house has been broken into. It's like, Jesus. Like, this poor guy just can't catch a break. But he's still smiling away and saying yes to everything, so it's awesome. Like I said, if Vince or Paul, I don't care who's in charge, doesn't put the title back on him when he comes back, then WWE's in big trouble.
And Chris, a final thought on it?
I already gave my thoughts on it.
So. Sorry, Ethan.
Yeah, I got to give a whole lot of props to him. Usually, especially in this day and age, when it comes to crime and things like that, the typical mantra that's been bantied about is that you have to hide and call 911 because that's what police are for. Brian at least had the balls to take the initiative and take down the bad guys so they could actually be caught. So props to him for that. And definitely props to him for still staying in good spirits despite everything that has happened from marriage since. I mean, he got the title, he loses it to an injury. He's got to have more surgeries. But it's like it's pretty much the facts of life theme song for him. You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, more power to Brian, and, you know, we're hoping for the best for him. You know, he needs some good news in his life, and I'll tell you what, maybe the Comic-Con thing is going to be that one little shining moment that he's going to get to enjoy on top of all the bad news he's gone through this year. So I think I'm going to end it on that note. I know I had a couple other things to talk about, but I know we're probably going to need to wrap it up soon. Ethan, do you have anything to promote?
I'd like to promote some water because I'm goddamn thirsty right now.
Chris, I know your site has not been updated.
Yeah, I was going to update it today, but work called me in early, so I didn't get a chance. I'm going to try to do something this weekend with it. Just to have something to promote, I don't know if we're allowed to do this here. Can I promote my friend code for my 3DS that I just got?
If you feel the need.
Okay, let me pull that up here. Skip to Shane, and I'll come back out on that.
Shane rarely has anything to promote.
Mm. Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Chris. Just pull all the freaking pressure on me, why don't you?
You're welcome.
I don't know. I have been actually thinking about, maybe continuing on with some bad news things, but I'll save that for another time when I get more information on it.
Okay. Well,
fair enough. Chris, you got that code up?
Almost. Do a little dance or something.
Well, I typically don't have anything to promote, although since the Muckamuck is not here, I will say that CLW83 does have a plethora of shows if wrestling is not your thing. We have other shows that discuss sports. We have shows that discuss politics. We have shows that discuss game shows. I've also started a blog. It's called Nikki's Notebook. If you go to CLW83.com, you can go read all kinds of nutty information that I might come up with, which, admittedly, I owe somebody a column.
Okay, I got my code up here. For anyone that's listening and they want to add me as a friend, 4613-8638-6097, and then just email me at mrcmwaters@gmail.com, and I'll add you back.
Well, in that case, we're going to call it a show. For Chris Waters, for Bad News Beeman, for Ethan Musselin, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Do come back, because while we have a lot of bad news, we have a lot more good news than any other podcast out there. Thank you.
You've been listening to a JWC Media produced program.